as The Rock takes on the Chargers of New Haven here in West Haven, Connecticut, Ralph Della Camera Stadium. Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, I'm Bob Cupp with Tyler Friel joining me today. We're alongside John Holtz, Director of Athletic Communications, and ready to bring you some Slippery Rock University football here today. It is, yes, round number two of the NCAA postseason, round of 16 here today, and we are in front of the blue carpet that New Haven plays on. It is the Chargers' home field, and excited to be here once again for another game of Rock football, Tyler Friel.
Absolutely. Great to be back on the blue rug at New Haven. And no, this is going to be a fun, exciting game that we have lined up. You take a look at both of these teams. They both present some challenges to each other, with the dynamic run game of Slippery Rock along with their run defense. And then you take a look at what this prolific New Haven offense has done throughout the season. It's definitely going to be an interesting matchup on multiple fronts.
This is The Rock appearing in its fourth NCAA playoff appearance in the last 6 years, seventh overall Division II playoff appearance. And interesting to note that this is a matchup of the number 6 and 7 seeds in Super Region 1. And just to refresh you a little bit, there are 28 teams that enter the playoff field in NCAA Division II. There are 4 different regions. Slippery Rock plays in Super Region 1, and New Haven plays out of the Northeast Conference. Obviously, Northeast 10, we play out of the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. But it is interesting to find that it is 2 low seeds, as all 3 higher-seeded home teams last week in Super Region 1 lost, marking the only region where all 3 games finished in upsets. And the biggest, obviously, has to be considered The Rock, because they were the number 7 seed coming in and last week knocked off another Northeast 10 opponent, LIU Post, while New Haven, a number 6 seed, defeated unbeaten 3rd seed Westchester on the road. So ironically, the 2 teams that played for their conference championships and lost ended up beating teams that were the conference champions last week. So a very ironic situation to see here today in these low seed matchups.
Yeah, the old phrase, any given Saturday. I mean, you have teams who come from multiple backgrounds in terms of the conferences they played. And so, you know, we take a look at some of the seedings that they do all across the NCAA. And sure, you may look at a team and go, oh, this is a 7 versus a 2. But then you really dig down into the numbers and you realize they're not that far apart. I mean, New Haven being a number 6 seed, Slippery Rock being a number 7 seed. These are 2 very good football teams. So they had upsets last week. Actually, New Haven over Westchester I thought was probably more of a surprise than Slippery Rock over LIU Post. But these are still 2 very talented teams. You make the postseason in college football, you're a good football team.
Absolutely. And for The Rock, it got off to a great start last week. A 75-yard screen play on the very first play from scrimmage. Roland Rivers III hit Jermaine Wynn Jr. on a little sideline route. And next thing you know, 75 yards later, it was a Rock 7-0 lead. And they never trailed in that game. Held off LIU Post 20-14. They jumped out to a 17-6 lead with really a fantastic defensive effort last week that saw LIU Post manage just 92 total yards. The Pioneers did find some success through the air in the second half, but only settled for 1 touchdown and a 3 of 6 showing in the red zone. The Rock did a great job on 3rd down. The Rock defense really has been the nature of the beast. Even when you go back to the Westchester loss in the state championship game, you eliminate that first quarter, the Rock defense has been on fire.
Yeah, I mean, really, you can isolate almost 2 bad halves for Slippery Rock's defense, and that's been just about it. They've really matured physically and emotionally on the defensive side of the ball, especially when you look at that linebacking core. You got a great front 4, but I look at that linebacking core. The addition of Brad Zafferman to the mix this year has obviously made a big difference. And then you look at how we've seen Tristan McDonald and Tim Vernick grow from their freshman to sophomore years. So it's a relatively young defense, but at the same time, they have taken major strides from year 1 to where they are right now. And if the Rock are going to come away with a win today, it's going to be, to me, Bob, on their backs. Can they stop this high-potent New Haven offense?
Absolutely. Well, I think discussed this with Glenn Thompson at the end of the game last week when we were recapping. Really felt the Rock defense won that game in that first half last week, because the defense spent 17 minutes on the field in the second half last week after the offense converted just 2 of 8 third downs and went 3 and out 4 times in the final 30 minutes. But that first half, they did a tremendous job after a couple of back-to-back interceptions by Roland Rivers III. The Rock defense really, really stepped up and was impressive, getting LIU keeping them out of the end zone. It's just been a remarkable effort when you look at that in that first half. That really could have been disastrous. Back-to-back interceptions like that, and you're turning it over really inside your own 20-yard line.
Yeah, if the Rock are going to be able to come away with a win, and really when you get to this point during the season, turnovers have to be minimalized. And so what are we going to see from Roland Rivers today? Obviously, you know, you talked about the stops the Rock defense was able to make, but this is going to come down. I'm interested in the Rock defense versus New Haven offense matchup. I think that's where this game could be won. But what the Rock will get from Roland Rivers, are we going to see some of the mistakes that he's made in the past, or are we going to see the early addition of Roland Rivers that we saw earlier this year?
Yeah, and that's one of the questions we have right now. What is wrong with Roland Rivers III? The Rock entering week 11 of the season with at least seven players catching a pass in every game the first 10 weeks. But last week against Post, only five offensive players touched the ball all day, and one of those was the center, Austin Waite. Only catching balls out of the hands of Roland Rivers last week were Jermaine Wynn Jr., Wes Hills out of the backfield in one pass to tight end Zach Cirillo. The week before against Westchester, the Rock had just six players record offensive stats and only four players catch a pass. So the Rock's offense has found the most success when spreading the ball around. They averaged better than 500 yards per offense in the first seven games of the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division prior to the title game. But since that time, they've been held to under 600 total yards combined in the last 2 weeks. So things have gone into a kind of a cocoon for Roland Rivers III, and we're going to need him to break out today.
You need Wes Hills. You need to rely on the run game, establish the run. If Wes Hills gets over a buck 50 today, I like the Rock's chances. But when you're talking about a balanced offense, that needs to be Roland Rivers finding different guys. So there's to me, a little bit of a myth of doing a 50-50 run-pass balance. Balanced offense means incorporating everyone that's out on the field. The four wide receivers, really, actually, I mean, you could go into about six wide receivers for the Rock, what they have talent-wise and depth at that position. You add in Zach Cirillo, A.J. Alexander at the tight end spot, Wes Hills, Shakar Berry, Braden Fulfman. They have a lot of weapons offensively. Can Roland Rivers and you look at Justin Roper too, how do they scheme this game offensively? Can they get these multiple weapons involved? If they're able to distribute the ball to a number of different players, I like their chances, but they have to have a balanced offense. And when I'm talking balance, I'm talking getting the ball into different hands during the course of this game.
Well, the weather should not be a problem, at least to start this game. It's overcast. Temperatures right now are in the probably upper 30s, working their way into the lower 40s, so it should be okay that way. The wind is almost nil at this moment, and that is something dramatically different than what we've been dealing with the last couple of weeks, especially you go back to the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Championship game against Westchester. The weather was just awful. Last week, the weather was pretty solid out of the gate, but it was windy. Now we don't have that today, and we're kind of nestled into some trees here, so I don't think it's going to play a factor at this point, but boy, you bring up the name Wes Hills. What an effort he has had for this Rock offense this year. He's played in just 10 games this year, took just two snaps against Shippensburg, and went down to an injury, then missed all of the next two games and really was limited in week five before returning as a starter in week six. But Hills is averaging 137 yards per game officially, with that week two game significantly dragging down his average. You take out those two plays out of the equation, he's averaging almost 152 yards of offense. And since returning to the lineup in week six at IUP, Wes Hills has rushed for 1,134 yards. That's 162 yards per game in the past 7 weeks, and has an opportunity if he is able to put up some numbers today, or if the Rock is able to advance into possibly next week. He could set the all-time single-season mark here for Slippery Rock University. So he's been solid. He's been a workhorse. You saw that effort last week. He really put this offense on his back and ran with it.
My favorite thing about Wes Hills is you look on the season, 16 yards for loss. That's it. He moves forward. He is a physical specimen. I mean, this is a D1 athlete who, you know, just by way of, you know, his career, he's found himself here at Slippery Rock University, and this was a heck of a find for Sean Lutz and this Slippery Rock football program, because this guy has the ability, to me, be playing on Sundays, but has the ability to continue to keep that motor moving, legs churning, driving the pile forward. That's where he makes his money. This is a guy that can get you on a gain of maybe about 1 to 2 yards for a normal running back, he's getting 3 to 4. So those extra yards that he picks up just by falling forward, just by keeping the motor going, that's what separates him from the rest of the gang.
When you look at this New Haven team, they are very veteran. When you look at the Rock only has 3 senior starters and 3 senior backups. For New Haven, they've got 5 senior or grad students on their offense, 6 senior or grad students on their defense. A very veteran team. They're very powerful as far as you mentioned offensively. A.G. Patterson is their quarterback. He's the Northeast 10 offensive MVP, ranks 7th in the nation in points responsible for and 6th with passing touchdowns. He's got 29.
Yeah, this is a guy that's been playing football for a long time. He knows what to do when he gets out on the field. So this is going to be a very intriguing matchup, probably one of the better quarterbacks they face this year.
We're going to take a break, and we'll send Tyler Friel down to the field to visit with Coach Lutz and get set for the kickoff. It's The Rock and New Haven today from West Haven, Connecticut, and you found it right here on The Rock Station, 97.7, 977rocks.com, and at rockathletics.com.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your family. You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Negley's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System only at Negley's. Hop on over to Missing Links Brewery tonight after the Spirit of Christmas Parade for some holiday cheer, great beer, and live acoustic music with the Noble Hops. Happy holidays from the Noble Hops Band.
It's back. The popular Purses for a Purpose fundraiser is back and just in time for the holidays. You and your friends are cordially invited on Sunday, December 2nd from noon to 3 at the Vagabond Center. This holiday Purses for a Purpose is hosted by the YWCA and will feature over $10,000 worth of designer purses from names like Coors, Coach, Versace, Furla, Kate Spade, and more. But with a holiday twist, there'll be games, the 100 Purse Basket Raffle, and more. Tickets are just $30 and include hors d'oeuvres and sweets. So celebrate the holidays with your friends at the Holiday Purses for a Purpose, December 2nd. Tickets are on sale now at the YWCA at 120 West Cunningham Street or at the Butler Radio Network offices at 252 Pillow Street in Butler.
This is Wes Hills, running back for Cyprian University.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
And we're back here. They have completed the national anthem. We're getting set for game time, and Tyler Friel had an opportunity to visit with Coach Sean Lutz down on the field here.
With head coach Sean Lutz. Coach, second round of the NCAA playoffs, taking on New Haven at their place. How was the week of practice?
Great week of preparation. It was nice that as a family we got to be together for Thanksgiving holidays. We molded a lot. When we get on the road, we kind of come together. We're on our own. There's not a lot of distractions. And we're ready for this next opportunity. I mean, we're excited. We have an opportunity to be one of 8 teams remaining after this game. And we just hope we play our best game today and get that win.
Taking on a veteran quarterback in A.G. Patterson, what have you seen from him on film, and how do you attack him defensively?
They're the best offensive team we face this season overall. He's a 4-year starter. He can scramble, he can move around, and he can really throw the ball. They got 2 great receivers, experienced offensive line. It's a big test today. It's another test for our defense. But the key today is we got to be able to move the ball offensively, and we got to be able to put some points on the board because both teams have firepower on offense, and it's going to come down to what team makes less mistakes, and maybe Jake Chapp will make a winning field goal, and I like our special teams.
Yeah, you talked about special teams being possibly a big factor here. What do you look for on that side of the ball?
We got to win it. I mean, we got explosion plays all year with our special teams, with our punt return guys, our kickoff return, and look with Jake Chaplin, how he changes field position. So if we're gonna come out to win, we gotta win the special teams phase of the game. I like our chances doing that.
Good luck, Coach.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Go Rock.
Back up to you, Bob.
Thank you very much, Tyler. Well, sounds like an excited coach, Sean Lutz, and we're having the coin toss right now. Didn't see who won, but somebody deferred. I guess, is it Slippery Rock that won and deferred? I believe we'll try to figure that out. But the captains meeting at center field here. The blue turf of New Haven, the Chargers, are New Haven's nickname. And they are going to receive the ball first. So we will have Jake Chaplin bringing his team out onto the field here today. As far as the coaches, of course, Sean Lutz, you just heard from him. And he is in his third year with Slippery Rock University now. And Coach Sean Lutz with a 25-9 overall record. Pincitz is the name of the coach here at New Haven. Chris Pincitz, he is in his fifth year as head coach, 35-19 record. And its first NCAA tournament appearance since 2012. The last time these two teams met up were a few years back. It was September of 2016. The Rock actually capped a home-and-home sweep of New Haven with a 31-28 comeback win against the Chargers. It was the opening game of the season that year for the Rock at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. New Haven scored 28 unanswered points after the Rock had jumped out to a 14-0 lead and had to come back in that game. Last week for the Rock, of course, the big win over LIU Post. For New Haven, they knocked off Westchester, who were the top-ranked defense in the region, and they put 35 points up on them. So we're set to go here today, and as you heard Coach Lutz say, this is going to be the best offensive team the Rock has faced, a solid offensive line, big offensive line, and a very, very talented quarterback in A.G. Patterson. So we're just about set to go here this afternoon. Rock football coming to you live on the Rock Station 97.7 and at 977rocks.com as well as rockathletics.com. Back deep, Brett Huber and Paul Cooper for New Haven. The Rock will be kicking off on your radio dial from right to left. Again, Jake Chaplin, number 99, the junior kicker who has put himself at the top of some of the record charts at Slippery Rock University. We're set to go. NCAA playoff football here. And it's going to go to the far side to Paul Cooper, who takes it inside his 10, is up across the 15, and is dragged down hard by the Rocks. Jonathan Boone, we talked about him in the pregame, the big sack that he had last week. And he's downfield first, makes the tackle, and will set things up just across the 20-yard line to the 22. And that's where New Haven will start out. A.G. Patterson comes out, and he'll have Chris Liggio in the backfield to start things out. A.G. Patterson, a senior. He's been seen before by this Rock team. Last time we faced New Haven, he was their starting quarterback, and he's set to go with his team out of the pistol right now with Liggio sidecar right. First and 10 at the 22-yard line for the Chargers. And here's a handoff. It's Liggio right up the middle. He's got a big hole. He breaks a tackle, gets out of the reach of Trey Blanford, and gets across the 25 out to the 30. Quick gainer of 8 yards.
Yeah, they split this backfield between Liggio and McCarthy. They'll basically get about 50-50 in terms of their reps. So I think you're going to be keeping fresh running backs in the backfield for this New Haven team.
For a second down and short now. Here's Patterson. He's got trip receivers to the near side. That's the New Haven sideline. He hands it off to Liggio. He gets into the pile. This time he runs into Trey Blanford, and he holds on. Now he does drag him for about a yard, but it'll be third and one.
Yeah, you got to be careful on these splash plays here when you're looking about a third down and short. Will New Haven stick with the ground game, or will they be willing to go over top? You look at what Juwan Williams has done for New Haven at that wide receiver position this year. 11 touchdowns, 10 of those have come on 25 yards or more. So they like the big play. They like to go over top. That makes you be on your toes on a third down and short situation.
Third and one, they bring a double tight end package in now, and right up under center is A.G. Patterson, and he's going to scramble for the first down. He's stacked up, but he's in the arms of Tristan McDonald, and he keeps the pile moving, and they're still going forward. They stacked him up right at about the 35, and he stays on his feet out to the 39. Just keeps the pile moving, and he was carrying some green and white defenders with him.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at a play like that, that's a physical play from the New Haven offense. And also you look at the success ratio of a quarterback keeper. I mean, you're looking at almost 80 to 90% that they're going to pick up that 1 yard. Smart play call by the Chargers and good execution.
So first down, that was a gain of 8. It should have been maybe 2. Patterson now goes to the shotgun. He'll take the snap, and he's going to hand it off. It's Liggio again. He goes into the pile and is tackled as he crosses the 40 to the 41, a pickup of 2.
Yeah, you're seeing this Rock defense. Again, very different than what you see really across all Division II football. They go press coverage, so you're relying on this front seven to stop the run, but you're looking at press coverage, man-on-man defense. They don't go zone. They don't throw in any special packages. They say, throw it, beat us over top. And so that makes the front seven more, you know, you got to rely on them to be able to stop the run.
Now they're going to empty the backfield, and they'll have a five-receiver set. As Patterson goes to the shotgun, he's got 29 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions this year as number 4. He looks near side, hits the slot, and it's caught by number 83, and that being Brett Huber, wide receiver, and he picks up yardage out across the 45 to the 47-yard line. Pickup of 6. And it'll make it a third down and about 2 now after the 8 yards. 2 and 6 back-to-back plays. And they keep that same look. Now they'll split the trip receivers up top side. 3rd and 2. Here's the snap to Patterson. He looks, and he's going to run it. And he's got running room. He's got the first down and more. He's into Rock territory. Dives out of bounds. Forced out by the Rock's Tyree Spearman, but not before he gets across the 45 to the 44-yard line. He's got another first down for New Haven.
This is what makes Patterson such a very, I mean, he's such a good quarterback because he's dual threat. Earlier in his career, he was known for his run game. He's developed that passing game, but he's not afraid to tuck it and go. Rock sending 4, the rest of them out on those 5 wide receivers, which meant there was a lot of blue to run on, and he took advantage of the open field.
Yeah, first down into Rock territory to the 43, a gain of 14. Here's the snap to Patterson, and he hands it off. And this time, coming up with the ball is Ryan McCarthy, who stepped into the game. That's number 5. And he's got positive yardage to the 40. Picks up 3.
New Haven not afraid to run the ball, though, on these early downs. They're trying to pick up 3-4 yards. That opens up the playbook. You're looking at a 2nd and 7 here. So now, as you're Dom Rosano in the Slippery Rock defense, you're trying to guard against possible 2 options here, the run or the pass. So I like these early first down, establish the run game plays from the Chargers offense.
It's 3 receivers near side, 4 receivers set. And in the pistol goes Patterson now, with McCarthy to his backside right. And here's the snap. And he looks to throw, and he's going to throw it inside. Oh, jumping the route briefly and then stepping back was Tyree Spearman. If he stays in position, it looked like Patterson threw it right to him. Juwan Williams was the intended receiver, but, boy, that could have been a pick.
There seemed like there was some confusion on Juwan Williams' part, but you're right, Tyree Spearman in position to make the play, and I think he was thrown off by Williams' indecision, and so that's why he was kind of caught flat-footed. But they had an opportunity to make a splash play. New Haven catches a break, but the Rock looking at a 3rd down and long.
3rd and 7 now, and well into a 4-minute drive are the Chargers on their opening series. Here's Patterson dropping back, comes pressure, throws it across the middle. He's got the first down as it is pulled in by number 84, Paul Cooper, and they move the sticks again as he gets down to the 31-yard line, a gain of 9.
They haven't passed all that often, but when they go back for it, this New Haven offensive line has done a nice job of keeping the front 4 in check for Slippery Rock. The Rock just sending 4 there, a little stun up the middle. The Chargers offensive line was able to pick it up, gave Patterson a nice pocket to step drive, make a good, solid throw. This New Haven offense is clicking. They look pretty sharp.
Yeah, they're moving the ball downfield to the 31-yard line now, 1st and 10. And the same formation, pistol, and a handoff to McCarthy, and he's tripped up, knocked over by his own man. It was blocked into the backfield by the Rock, and we've got a Rock player down in front of that. And let's see who that is, Trey Blanford. He gets up slowly, kind of hobbled, but he is up. And that was no gain, by the way, on that play. Still at the 31-yard line, but like Blanford, was it Blanford got a push and knocked one of the linemen back in front of Patterson, kind of blew that up, or McCarthy, I'm sorry, and blew that up. So 2nd and 10.
You also had Timmy Vernick making a really good read on it. He was able to explode through the gap, and so the Rock knew exactly what was going on there, and give Blanford credit for getting a nice push right up front.
Got a 4-receiver look and a tight end in with an empty backfield. Here's Patterson looking downfield, and he's going to dump it off to the outlet man, and that is the tight end, and he's taken out of bounds after a minimal gain. I think he got 1 as he went out at the 30. It's Brad Zaffram in on the tackle that time. The ball carrier, ball receiver, Jonathan Bedinia, he is a tight end. 1 yard gain. It's 3rd and 9. So back-to-back series here, or back-to-back sets now. The Rock has forced a 3rd and longer at least, but New Haven has been able to convert.
Yeah, interested to see if Rosano dials up the blitz here. They've been sending 4. That's given Patterson a lot of time. Let's see if one of the backers come in.
Chris Liggio is in the backfield now, sidecar to the left of Patterson. Here's the snap. He's looking topside. He throws it inside, and it's caught and pulled in right at the first down marker. Jawan Williams goes forward and gets some more. He just turned that right up at the first down marker, got the first down, and went down to the 15-yard line.
We do got a flag, though. It looks like it could be in the area of holding.
And let's see, because that's a 15-yard gain if it stands, but the flag is in the backfield. It's a chop block called against New Haven, so that one's coming back. First penalty of the game goes against the Chargers.
Yeah, the Rock defense decided to dial up the blitz. You had Tristan McDonald firing his way up the middle, so that meant the New Haven offensive line had to try to be more responsible to block more white jerseys. I didn't see where the chop block occurred, but I like the blitz package there. I think that's a smart call, and now you put New Haven's offense into a third and really long.
11 plays already on this drive. But now you're going to push him back to the 45-yard line with the penalty. A.G. Patterson, he has completed 64% of his passes this year, and he's off to a hot start here today. But the ball moved back now 15 to the 45, so they don't pick up first down yardage inside the 20. It's back now. Here's Patterson. Pressure comes, and he dumps it off. He threads the needle, though, to number 83. Once again, that is Brett Huber. And he's got back to the original line of scrimmage to the 30-yard line. He'll pick up 15 on that one.
And they're going to go for it, and I like this call. I don't think you punt in this situation. Your offense has been moving the ball very effectively. Granted, it's a 4th and 10, but you're at the Slippery Rock 30, 31-yard line. I like this call. It's a gutsy move early, but I think it's the right call.
So the clock turns under 8 minutes now. 4th and 10 at the 31-yard line. Patterson calling out the signals. Might be changing up a bit of a play here. Let's see what happens. Double receiver split to each side. He's got a sidecar of Ligio to the left. Here's the snap. He drops back. Has time. Now has nobody to throw to, but he'll dump it out of the backfield to Ligio, who is hit hard by Brad Zafram and knocked down. They're going to be short of the first down and turn it over on downs.
Hey, give credit to Brad Zafram on that play. That's a heck of a stick. I mean, it was good form tackling. He got set, head to the side of the body, wrapped up, drove to the ground because you're one-on-one there. He breaks your tackle. He's gone. He picks up the first down. So the linebacker, the transfer in this year, he's a football player at heart. This guy's a high motor, high energy guy. Great form tackle and a big stop on fourth down for Slippery Rock.
And here comes Roland Rivers leading his team onto the field. RR3, number 14 today. Remember his jersey. Last week he was number 20 because he forgot it at home. But he's back now, and he's got sidecar Wes Hills to the left. We've got a three-receiver look, and Zach Cirillo's into the game as well. Here's a drop back pass. Rivers throws downfield. Austin Scott wide open. He broke through the defense, but it's 3 yards too long as the Rock tries to hit the big hit right out of the gate. And it's incomplete. Just a bit too long on the throw from RR3 to Austin Scott, number 6.
I love that call from Justin Roper coming right out of the gate. He says, let's get it in. Let's see if the quarterback can make a big play. We had a big fourth down stop. Let's try to go for the throw coming right out of the gate. I like the call. Try to get a little confidence in your quarterback. Aggressive play, but I think it's a good call.
Here's a pitch inside to Mike Marhadu, and in motion, and he's got blocking out front by Wes Hills, who allows him to get across the 30 and goes out of bounds. Well, it goes near the out-of-bounds marker. He dropped inside of it, actually, to the 32, so it'll be a pickup of 5 on the sweep. And Mike Marhadu went in motion from the Chargers sideline and took the scoop from Roland Rivers.
I love the call. You're trying to keep them balanced offensively. They're all focused in on number 4 in the backfield. They decide to go with a jet sweep to the outside. They had the blocking, a nice pickup by Mike Marhadu in this Rock offense.
3rd and 5 now, as the New Haven Chargers are showing some pressure. Here's a handoff, Wes Hills. He goes into the pile, breaks through the pile, got near the first down marker. I don't think he got there, though. Let's see where they spot it.
That far side judge, I think, is giving them the spot. They're going to move the chains.
Hey, how about that? A nice spot for the Rock, and they get the 5 yards right at it. Wes Hills, number 4, gets the Rock a first down to the 37-yard line.
How about the trust they have in Wes Hills? Find me another team that's going to run the ball on a 3rd and 5 with their running back. Wes Hills is able to pick up the 5 yards. That's a heck of a play by the senior back.
1st and 10, Slippery Rock. No score here. First quarter. Now it's a handoff, and Hill's going to sweep to the outside. Puts his hand out, gets a stiff arm, and that allows him to get a couple of yards before he goes out of bounds. Looks like they're going to spot that at about the 38, so it'll be a long one.
We do have a flag that came in. They have it right around the 45-yard line.
Let's see what they call here. There's been one penalty so far. That was against New Haven. It was a critical one because it slowed their opening drive. So they turned it over on downs after 12 plays. It's a block below the waist. That's the second blocking penalty that's been called. This one, though, is going to go against the Rock and move them back into their own territory and spot the ball at about, what, the 25-yard line? 26?
Yeah. They got
inside
Henry,
that, 24.
They got Henry Litwin with the low block. Really, you only see that called inside the trenches with the big guys. There's been a little bit more of a enforcement of that cut block, really, going below the waist. You rarely see it called downfield.
Moves it back to the 24, first and 23 now. Here's a play-action rollout by Roland Rivers looking downfield. He throws it. It's caught. Jermaine Wynn catches it, gets back to the original line of scrimmage at about the 38 before he's knocked out of bounds. Good throw that time by Roland Rivers III. Looks a little more comfortable back there. He had that big opening play last week and then just didn't seem like things were gelling for him. But so far, so good out of the gate here.
I like getting Roland Rivers out of the pocket coming out of the gate. I think that's where he's most comfortable making these throws.
Here's a handoff inside. Wes Hills puts his head down and gets back to the middle of the field across the 40 to the 42. He'll pick up a gain of four.
Now you're going to have to go to the air. You had a third down and five last time. It's third and six. Let's see what they have in their bag. I'd be looking for an out route. You've got a very talented wide receiving core. Let's see if you're able to get a cross pattern somewhere on the top of the field. Mike Merhot, Henry Litwin there. Henry Litwin's been a reliable target for Roland Rivers all season long.
So the pass to Jermaine Wynn got the penalty yardage back, and that four-yard carry makes it third and six. In motion goes Jermaine Wynn. He'll go to the top side, make another three-receiver look, and they'll throw that way. It's the screen to Wynn. It's a low one, but he scoops it up. He avoids a tackle, trying to get to the first down marker. He does.
Wow.
Spins across it to near the 50. He got to the 48, a gain of seven.
Not a great throw by Rivers when you're trying to run a screen play. That's really got to be time because those wide receivers can only hold their blocks for so long. But the spin move at the end of it, Wynn keeps the motor running, and Merhot and Litwin holding their blocks down the field. That's a great job by the offense.
First and 10, Rock near midfield. Still in their own territory at their own 48. Now here's a pitch outside to Wes Hills. He's got some running room. Great blocking by Mike Merhot. He's on the ramble down the sideline inside the 40 to the 30-yard line and a first down carry for number four.
We heard Sean Lutz earlier this year talk about how impressed he was with this wide receiving core's ability to block, and you saw it right there. That's a play that really a lot of offenses won't be able to execute because their wide receivers won't be able to hold their blocks. You had about three Rock wide receivers making blocks down the field, including Carnell Harley.
So the Rock with a big, big carry there of 20 yards for Wes Hills. Takes it to the 30-yard line there into Chargers territory. Clock turns 4:03, no score. The first drive of the day for the Rock. And now Roland Rivers going to keep it again. Nope, he pitches it to the outside to Wes. He probably could have kept that one and got across the 25, but he pitches out to Wes. It goes to the 27. Nominal gain, 3 yards. On the pitch play.
Yeah, they go back to the speed option, and Roland Rivers is a heck of an athlete. I mean, you look at him, he's a big dude. He sizes up quite well when you look at him and Wes Hills together, 6'3", 220. He's a big guy, so he's a very legitimate running threat.
So now it's a second and seven for the Rock at the New Haven 27. Snap to Rivers. He's looking for Carnell Harley. Now he looks the other way, and he's got Jermaine Wynn, who's got a first down inside the 20, 15, 10, dives out of bounds across the 5. Looks like they're going to spot that at probably the 3 or 4-yard line for Jermaine Wynn, who did a nice job getting it to the outside. Some blocking downfield has been phenomenal so far in this drive.
It was a great route by Jermaine Wynn. Started in the slot, did about a 5-yard hard in cut. That matched him up with the star linebacker, Kerryon Ryan, and he was able to utilize his speed. A great throw by Roland Rivers to hit him on the right on the numbers, able to use the speed to get to the outside, leaving the Rock with the third down and goal, or first down and goal to go.
First and goal at the 3, 24-yard gain. Here's Rivers, and he hands it off Wes Hills, who walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Slippery Rock. They put the first 6 up on the board on their opening drive after the Rock defense stiffened, thanks in part to a Chargers penalty. And they turned the ball over on downs on their first series after 13 plays and a key Brad Zafram tackle. The Rock then puts a drive of their own together and marches it downfield from their own 27. The extra point try to come to tack on to the early lead at the 3:08 mark of this opening quarter. Jake Chapla out of the hold of Mike Merhot, the left footer. Is Jake Chapla, number 99. And here comes the snap. It's a good one. Hold good. Here's the kick. It's up, and it is good. And the Rock has taken an early 7-0 lead. We'll be back with more Rock football after this 30-second timeout. You're listening to Slippery Rock University football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Hey. Hey, Ken Frenchak here from the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City. Seems like summer has rushed through, and now it's time to enjoy football on the weekends. So remember, it's time to make sure that your car is clean and ready for the highway. So stop in and choose which wash you want. And remember, our night owl specials start at 10 p.m. That's when you can save $2 off our ultimate wash. We're locally owned and nationally known. We're the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City.
Rock football on the station that rocks. The Rock Station, 97.7.
10-play drive going 73 yards, and the Rock has taken an early 7-0 lead. It was Wes Hills from 3 yards out. He carried the ball five times for 35 yards on that drive, and a couple of key hits passing-wise from Roland Rivers III, is in particular to Jermaine Wynn, really, really doing a nice job on that series.
All around offensively, I thought they did a fantastic job. I mean, this is a Rock offense that needed to find their footing coming off, especially Roland Rivers coming off of a few weeks where he struggled. I thought he looked good coming out of the gate. They put him in positions where he was able to make plays, and he executed on those. Also, you look at two big third downs they were able to come with on a Wes Hills third down and five, and Jermaine Wynn giving that third effort to pick up the first down, and those were two big plays coming right out of the gate.
It's Huber and Cooper back deep, and it's going to be Cooper, and he's got a big hole. He breaks through it with Jake Chapler to beat, and Jake was able to slow him down, and on the backside is that Mark Carter that came downfield? No, it is Nasir Weaver that came downfield and made the tackle deep, but boy, he had wide open running, got right up through the middle of the Rock pursuit on the kickoff, and brings it all the way back into New Haven territory, Rock territory, out of New Haven territory, across the 45 to the 43-yard line.
And it was a special teams for New Haven that's been, well, fairly pedestrian this year. 16 yards, they average on kickoff returns. Right there, they were able to get a play, big play. We talked to Sean Lutz before the game. Special teams are going to be a big factor. It showed right there.
Well, here's a quick handoff now, and a hit back into the backfield. Nice. By the Rocks, Eric Glover-Williams, as the handoff went to McCarthy, and he went backward for a yard.
The transition he's made from offense to defense, he's become a very good cornerback for this Slippery Rock team, going up, making plays. Sean Lutz wanted to put him in a position. This guy's a heck of an athlete, an Ohio State transfer into the Slippery Rock program. Wanted to put him in positions where he would be making plays, and he's done that since that transition occurred.
Four receiver set, three to the top side on second and 11 now for New Haven. Patterson calls the signals, and he drops back. He's got time. Now here comes pressure, and there's some holding in the backfield, and maybe even a face mask as it's thrown downfield in and out of the hands of Kyle Hall, and we're going to get at least a hold back in the backfield against New Haven, if not a face mask. It looked like there was a hand to the face in there as well, as they were all over Zach Bader, who got into the backfield. It is holding against New Haven, so that play was going to be all for naught anyway. And almost an interception, though. You would have declined it, but Kyle Hall, boy, I think he'd have over a dozen interceptions this year if he held on to some balls.
It was a great play, I mean, to get in that area to make him potentially knock that ball down, because on those jump balls like that, sometimes the cornerbacks and secondary overreact, and a wide receiver slips behind them. And Kyle Hall was able to do a nice job there. I also really liked what I saw from Chad Kuhn on that play, the left defensive end for this Rock defense. And he was able to just continue to keep the motor going, get a hand in the face of A.G. Patterson, nearly brought him down. This is another kid who I think's done a really nice job at that defensive end position. He's only a sophomore, the Kiske product. This guy's, I think, going to be a big playmaker defensively for the Rock for a long time.
Well, the penalty moves New Haven back into their own territory, to their 46. It'll be second and 21 now. And you're starting to see that Rock pressure build. That's been so good, especially going back to last week. It affected that play big time. Here's the snap to Patterson. He looks to the near side. Now he's going to throw it way downfield, as a man breaking underneath, and it's in and out of the hands of Kyle Hall again, who came over backside pursuit on the safety coverage and had a shot at picking that off again, as it was just barely overthrown to number 15, A.J. Green.
Yeah, it was great one-on-one coverage. Eric Glover-Williams working against, I believe it was Ryan McCarthy who came out as from running back. Or no, take that back. It was A.J. Green, the one-on-one coverage. No, you mentioned Kyle Hall coming over the top to help give coverage in the safety position. That's good defense. Now you've put New Haven again in a really third and long situation.
It'll be a third and 21 after the incompletion. They're in their own territory. They bring a tight end in. He'll be in the backfield. Now they've got a four-receiver look. Doubles each side, and here's Patterson looking. He throws, and it's knocked away by Brad Zafram. He reached right in front of Paul Cooper, the intended receiver, put a mitt on it, and number one comes up with his second big play to stop a New Haven drive today.
That's the matchup New Haven wanted. They had Brad Zafram working against Paul Cooper on that inside slot. Slippery Rock running man-to-man defense. That means Zafram was going to be responsible for Cooper the whole way through. The athlete Brad Zafram was, he stayed with him right on top of him, was able to get a hand and knock it away from Paul Cooper. That's a great defensive play again from Brad Zafram.
So it'll be a three and out, and New Haven will punt. Back deep is Jermaine Wynn. He'll stand at his 15. And here's the snap. It's clean. The kick is off. And here comes Wynn on the run to the 25. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Breaks a tackle, spins around, and is brought down inside the 50, down to the 47-yard line. A great return. They're going to say he actually got, we got one standing at the 47, the other at the 46. I think they're going to give him the 46-yard line. Great return, and that's back-to-back great returns on special teams. New Haven had set up one of their own, but now the Rock returns the favor.
Yeah, a bit of a shorter punt, so Jermaine Wynn was able to get a running start at it, and he had a wide-open gap to run. We saw how fast he is, with what he's been able to do at that wide receiver position this year, as well as a punt returner. Had room to run, took advantage of it, put the Rock now inside New Haven territory right off the bat.
Braden Fuffman is in, but Wes Hills is in the backfield. They've got two backs in that backfield with Roland Rivers, and it'll be Wes Hills taking the snap, and he runs right behind the blocking of Braden Fuffman. He breaks a tackle of his own. He should have been stopped at about the 43-yard line. Instead, Big West gets it across the 40 to the 39. It's a gain of 7 on first down.
Boy, you can feel the momentum swinging the Rock's way, the contingency that has come from Slippery Rock to New Haven. They're rallying behind this team, and you get it to a forceful runner like Wes Hills. That's just a momentum. That's a power move by this Rock offense.
Second and 3. The ball at the 39. Here's the snap. It's Wes Hills again, and he gets hit as he goes to the line of scrimmage. He should have gained 1. He got 2 just simply by the power, the raw toughness of number 4. It'll set up a 3rd and 1.
Hey, give credit to Mark Clements. He was the one responsible for bringing Wes Hills down. He's not the biggest guy on the field, 5'10", 200. He was able to get in there, take Wes Hills out by the legs. If you're going to bring this man down, you have to get low. Clements knew that, and that puts him in a 3rd and 1.
It's kind of a split-eye formation, if you will, and it's a play action on 3rd down. Roland Rivers, he's got Braden Fuffman, who tips it and drops it. And it'll be incomplete. It'll set up a 4th and 1 now. He had him wide open,
yep,
and he just threw him, you got a shorter guy out there.
Yeah, that's
he just let him a little bit too much. It'll be 4th and 1.
Yeah, Braden Fuffman, not the biggest guy on the roster, 5'8", 185. I think Rivers thought he was throwing to Wes Hills again. Love this call. Love to go for it. Give this ball to Wes Hills. Run it right up the gut.
4th and 1. Both backs in the backfield, and it's Hills, and he's got the first down. He charges across the 35 to the 34, a gain of 3, and the Rock moves the chains.
We talked to Sean Lutz about that earlier this week. I said, do you like to go for it on 4th down? I said, what's the mentality on that? He's like, if we can't get 1 yard with Wes Hills, we don't deserve to win the football game. So you had a situation like that, 4th down and 1. Give it to the big back. Let him put his head down. Let him pick up that first down.
The Rock entered the game 9 of 21 on 4th down. Make that 10 of 22 now. First down, Slippery Rock. They lead 7-0. This will be the final play of the opening quarter. In motion goes Jermaine Wynn. Roland Rivers wants the end zone. Now he'll dump it off, and he does so to A.J. Alexander, who drops it. Number 88, Aramis Alexander, had it right in his mitts, and I think he was looking to get upfield quicker than he had reined it in. It's incomplete.
And I love to see that decision-making process from Roland Rivers. Looking deep, realizes it's not there, wants to go to the check down. Alexander's got to bring that ball in. You got to be able to pick up some yards on first down. You could be looking at a 2nd and 5. Now you're at 2nd and 10.
Well, I was expecting run, obviously. I misspoke. That incompletion stops the clock at 14.9 seconds remaining in the opening quarter. It'll be a 2nd and 10. Ball at the New Haven 34. Now it's Alexander going in motion, and they're going to hand it off to... No, play action fake. Now they dump it off to the 88. He scoops it up this time, dodges, and gets the first down. He avoided a tackle, went out of bounds at the 20-yard line. He'll pick up 14 on the play, so they go right back to number 88,
yep,
get the ball back into his hands, and build that confidence.
And I love that play call. That's exactly it. Let's go back to 88. Hey, we trust in you. We believe you can go make a play. And that was a really nice little tight end curl route. You had had the defense biting on the West Hills run. A little play action. You give it off to 88. You pick up the first down. Love that play call from Justin Roper.
Well, the clock has run out on the first quarter, and the Rock has a first down at the 21-yard line of the Chargers. We'll be back after a 30-second timeout and kick off the second quarter here with the Rock leading 7-0. Rock football on the Rock Station 97.7.
A rock-solid education is a critical step in achieving life's goals. Choose from programs that lead to exciting careers in health, science, engineering, technology, business,
they have not
communication,
been, for whatever reason,
education,
the,
or the performing arts.
Have been turning
with over 150 undergraduate majors and 30 graduate programs, Slippery Rock University has been the best choice, first choice, of students across the nation
well,
for 125
ready,
years. Slippery Rock University,
we'll
experience the difference. Learn more about SRU's innovative, flexible, and affordable
yeah,
programs
go ahead,
by visiting sru.edu.
Get your car ready for the upcoming cold weather months by stopping at Lutz Automotive. Mark and Jared will check your car's fluids and heater, flush the transmission if needed, and take care of any rust before it gets worse. If you've hit a deer, Lutz Automotive will give you a fair and honest assessment of what repair work needs done, and they are reasonably priced. From basic maintenance to major repairs, you can count on Lutz Automotive. 1 mile north of Branston Road on Route 8, Slippery Rock, 724-794-2255.
Hey, this is Sean Lutz. You're listening to Slippery Rock University football on the Rock Station 977.
And we're back here starting the second quarter. The Rock, first and 10 at the New Haven 21. It's Roland Rivers. He wants the end zone. Throws it behind Mike Merhot, who was breaking at the five-yard line, and it's incomplete. Roland didn't lead Mike. If he does, he probably has a touchdown or is at least to the goal line, but instead threw it way behind him, incomplete.
Yeah, great play design. You had Mike Merhot, part of that trips wide receiver set to the top of the field. He was able to just do about a 10-yard it in, and it was wide open. Rivers has to make that pass.
Second and 10 at the 21-yard line now. Here's the snap. Rivers. He wants that way again. He throws the screen this time, and it's Dakota Clanagan, and he's immediately dragged down as he hits the 20. So they long pass it screen-wise, but only get a yard on that play.
Yeah, Kieran Ryan, again, the star linebacker, he was able to work off a cut block. One of the Rock wide receivers, I forget, I didn't have a number on it, but Ryan able to get over top of that block and then bring the wide receiver down. It was a heck of a play by number 34.
Yeah, it was number 8, Dakota Clanagan, with his first catch of the day. Sets up a third and long now, third and 9 for the Rock. Roland Rivers, he's 5 of 8 so far today. Here's the drop back. He throws for the end zone. Wide open, and it's in the hands. Oh, boy, that was almost knocked away, and it's pulled in by, is that Jermaine Wynn? It's Dakota Clanagan on the second catch of this series. I thought it was going to be knocked away. That's why I was so shocked that he was able to receive that ball, but it's a Rock touchdown.
Yeah, somehow out of the reach of the defender. I believe it was Ryan who came over and almost was able to pull that one down. However, Clanagan sneaking behind the defense. Roland Rivers saw him open in the back of the end zone, and a pass that just had enough air underneath of it to find Clanagan. A big-time play for this Rock offense.
Goes for 20 yards for the score, and the Rock has taken a 13-0 lead. Here's the extra point try. Oh, and it's going to be
wow.
Oh, he got it through.
Wow.
Mike Merhot. The ball was snapped back and kind of knuckleballed on Mike Merhot, and he did his best just to spin it around, and then literally Jake Chapla kicked that off the carpet sideways, and he somehow knuckled it through the upright for the extra point. Boy, there's a game saver there.
That's an amazing play. I don't know how that ball was able to get across the crossbar. Jake Chapla's a heck of a kicker. Hey, we talked about special teams being a big-time factor in today's game. They may not be always pretty at times, but that's a heck of a play by number 99, Jake Chapla.
Wow. And by the way, the other regional game in Super Region 1 right now is at halftime, and Notre Dame College leading Hillsdale 10-0 at the moment.
Don't count out the Falcons just yet.
14-0, though, is the score as the Rock, on their second time touching the ball today, drive it from the New Haven 46. 46 yards and, what, 9 plays for the Rock. And they take a 14-0 lead. Boy, I'm just kind of stunned yet that Jake Chapla was able to kick that through. Looked like it was going to be an outright disaster. And credit Mike Merhot just doing what he could do to get that ball down. And he just literally, you know, usually you spin it upright and get the laces facing a particular way for the kick. Well, this one was on the ground, and he spun it around. It was almost like spin the bottle time for Jake Chapla, and he got it. So a 20-yard touchdown for Dakota Clannigan. The extra point is good. The Rock has taken a 14-0 lead here at the 14-14 mark of the second quarter, and Jake Chapley is going to kick it off. And the crowd is restless on the Rock sideline. They're pumped up right now. Here's the kick, and it's going to go to number 84, Paul Cooper. He'll take it at his 8-yard line, and he comes up across the 20 to the 22, gets to the 23. We've got some pushing and shoving going on after the play, but no flags, and it'll be first and 10 Chargers. So the Rock so far today defensively. After New Haven put together a 13-play drive the first time they touched the ball in the opening quarter, the Rock shut them down, a turnover on downs, and then a quick three and out. Now let's see what A.J. Patterson is able to do with his Charger offense, starting out at their own 23.
New Haven came out of the gate wanting to establish the run, and they did a fairly decent job of it. However, now they trail by 14. Are they now going to abandon the run game and rely on A.J. Patterson to win this ball game?
Well, they're going to throw right downfield, and turning around and making the catch is Juwan Williams, who was covered by Katie Roberts, and they're going to throw a flag on Roberts, but he caught the ball anyway as he came back for it and pulls it in at about the 47-yard line. That was just a great, great turnaround catch on that play, but they're going to flag the Rock as well, and let's see where this ends up now.
Yeah, those back shoulder routes, if you're able to pull them off, they're very difficult to stop. It was a heck of a catch by Juwan Williams. They're going to call pass interference. So.
And they'll decline that because the result of the play brings the ball out to the, 47-yard line. So it was a gain of 24.
No, if you're able to execute those back shoulder routes, like I said, they're very difficult to stop. It's just it takes a lot of effort from the wide receiver and a very good throw from the quarterback to pull those off. It was a heck of a play by Juwan Williams to keep a foot inbounds and hold on to that ball. Not an easy play by any means.
To the 47 it goes, first and 10. Now a pass to the outside, and it's caught by Cooper. And he turns around and avoids a tackle, and he's got the first down as a result before he's knocked out of bounds by Eric Glover-Williams, but he's got the first down.
Paul Cooper, very shifty runner. After the catch, he was working one-on-one with, I believe, Tyree Spearman. Made a juke move. Cooper, not the biggest guy on the field, but we've seen his ability to make people miss. And you get him into one-on-one coverage, which I think that's what New Haven wants to do. He's going to be able to make some plays.
Well, he gets enough yardage of 10 to move the chains, and it's another back-to-back first down for the New Haven Chargers. They've moved into Rock territory. 13:22 mark of the second quarter. The Rock up 14-0, but the Chargers are on the move. Here's a handoff now, and this will be Lidgey, who takes it for 2 yards, noses it to the 41-yard line. It was actually a long yard and a half, if you will.
This Rock defense is going to try to make New Haven one-dimensional. They want A.G. Patterson to win this football game. Now, Patterson can do it, but if they're able to stop the run, you turn a team into a one-dimensional brand of offense, then that really favors the defense.
31 yards rushing so far for the Chargers. That's 3.9 yards per carry. And most of that was on that opening drive. Second and 9 now after the long yard, as I mentioned. Here's Patterson dropping back. Has time, wants to throw it downfield. Has a man who breaks away from Tyree Spearman, who was expecting some backside help.
Yep.
But he just escaped, did Paul Cooper. And he gets it for the first down to the 21-yard line, and that'll be a pickup of 19.
I think Tyree Spearman's got to stay with that guy. Yeah, I know Kyle Hall's over top, but he's got to make a long run to get on that play. Spearman was there until Cooper got into the break. You got to stick with him, and I just think there was some miscommunication there, but that's on 15. I think he's got to step up and make that play.
Yeah, he was right beside him. I mean, if he stays with him, he has a chance to knock the pass down. Instead, it's the third first down of this drive for the Chargers, down to the 21 of the Rock. Here's A.G. Patterson, and he dishes it out of the backfield to Ryan McCarthy, very quick hitter there, and he moves the ball down to the 16. He'll pick up 5 on that.
Yeah, they're trying to get favorable matchups. Again, Slippery Rock playing press coverage one-on-one. That at times could leave linebackers going against some athletes, and that's what they did there. But we've seen Brad Saffron step up to the occasion a number of times this year and a few times this game whenever he's working one-on-one against a lot of these athletic running backs and shifty wide receivers. He's able to stick with them, and so that's what New Haven thought. They got that one-on-one matchup. Again, good pickup of 5, but Brad Zaffer able to make that play.
Damon Rogers replaces receiver Brett Huber. And it's a four-receiver set to the top side. Now they'll throw it near side. That's Juwan Williams, their big playmaker. He catches it, got the first down, down to the 8-yard line, and that'll be a pickup of 6. Actually, no, that'll be a pickup of 8.
Yeah, Eric Glover Williams playing a little bit more lax coverage, afraid of being beat over the top by Juwan Williams. And so Williams just deciding to do a quick curl route, and A.G. Patterson was able to hit him right on the money.
Four first downs on this drive. This one knocks the chains down. It'll be a first and goal opportunity at the 8-yard line for the Chargers. They're trying to respond here in the second quarter. The Rock up 14 to nothing. Now up under center is Patterson. And he'll take the snap from there, and he'll hand it off. And it's Lidgey who goes into the pile and gets it to the 5-yard line. He'll pick up 3.
It's rare to see offenses that really run the spread go under center, but we've seen it a few times now from New Haven, and so they're obviously not afraid to put Patterson into some different offensive sets, which I really like. To me, that keeps the defense on their toes.
Now they're going to bring that big package out again with a tight end and 5-receiver set. 3 receivers split to the top side with the tight end. And it'll be an empty backfield for A.G. Patterson. It'll be 2nd and goal from the 5. 3-yard gain on that recent carry. Patterson, he's going to keep it himself and run for the end zone. He's going to be tackled as he goes into the end zone, but he's got a New Haven touchdown.
I really like that play call. You had spread out this Slippery Rock defense, really leaving just one linebacker in the inside. And so you got the front 4 and then the one linebacker. They took the tight end. They had lined up just off the right tackle. He basically acted like the fullback, cut in right behind the guard. That opened space up for A.G. Patterson. That's a smart play call inside the 5-yard line. Give the offensive coordinator some credit on that one.
It's 14-6. And the extra point try out of the kick of Michael Stellini is good. And the Chargers have cut into the Rock lead at the 9:58 mark of the second quarter. And a timeout on the field. The Rock leads it 14-7. We'll take a 30-second timeout, then bring you the kickoff. Rock football on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station, 97.7.
9:58 mark of the second quarter. The Rock leading 14-7. It was an 8-play drive that went 77 yards in 4 minutes and 10 seconds for the New Haven Chargers. A.G. Patterson runs it in from 5 yards out to cut the Rock lead. So these teams have now touched the ball 5 times in this game, and you take away a 3-and-out punting situation for New Haven. They've scored every time they've touched the ball. I think we kind of expected that today.
Yeah, we thought we would be in for a shootout, and right now we've seen that. Slippery Rock's defense has shown up at times. There's been some self-inflicted penalties from New Haven, but the Rock defense, when they've had to step up, has done that. You weren't going to shut out New Haven. You just got to be able to score enough points to beat them.
And we have a collision at the goal line as Mark Carter, the ball was kicked right to the center of the end zone, right at the goal line. Mark Carter and Jermaine Wynn Jr. both coming over, and they collide into each other. Carter actually caught the ball and dropped it, so Wynn picks it up and just takes the knee, and it'll be out to the 25. That could have been real ugly, but it turns out okay.
Yeah, it could have been real ugly, but smart move also to just fall on the football, take a knee in the end zone. No sense in trying to make something out of nothing.
So the first quarter action saw 111 yards of total offense for the Rocks, 65 for New Haven, but things are getting a little tighter now after that impressive 77-yard drive by the Chargers. And now it'll be the Rock turn, first and 10 at their own 25. Wes Hills takes the handoff on first down. He's got some running room, kicks it outside, spins around. He's got a first down carry, or no, he's just going to be just shy. He'll pick up 8 as he spun and was brought down at the, 33-yard line.
I love going out of the pistol formation because that gives the running back a few extra steps before he takes the ball. And to me, if you get Wes Hills running before he's able to get his hands on it, that becomes a difficult guy to stop.
Got Henry Litwin alone on the near side. It's going to be Wes Hills coming to that near side. He's going to be hit and dropped before he gets the first down. He picks up one on the second down and two. It'll be third and one. Takes the ball to the 34.
Good read on the play by the outside linebacker, Remy. He was able to step up. And again, you got to get low whenever you tackle Wes Hills. And he was able to initiate contact behind the line of scrimmage, able to hold him, and then rely on his other New Haven defenders to get involved in the action and bring number four down.
Third and one. They put Cirillo in motion. And here comes pressure. Here comes Wes Hills. He's got the first down. He needed to get to the 35. He got it to the 37, a gain of three.
New Haven selling out on the run. They sent a cornerback blitz. Mark Clements coming in, but The Rock bouncing it to the left side, luckily, which means Clements was trailing behind the play. So New Haven guessing, but guessing wrong on it from where they're sending that pressure. The Rock able to get enough of a push up front, and, of course, Wes Hills falling forward with the football. It's never an issue.
Wes Hills now with, 59 yards on the day. It's Wes Hills again. Things are blown up in front of him, so he kicks it to the outside. Goes out of bounds across the 40, across the 45, out to the 48-yard line, a gain of nine on first down, or on, first down, but he moves the chains anyway.
Give Zach Cirillo a lot of credit on that play. The tight end on the left side was able to hold the outside linebacker long enough, like you mentioned, Bob. Stuff blowing up the middle, so Wes Hills wanted to bounce it to the outside, and that all begins with Zach Cirillo setting the edge, allowing Wes Hills to get room to run to his left.
That was a gain of 11. I wasn't giving him enough credit, but it is first down. In motion is Jermaine Wynn, but it's a handoff up the middle to Hills, and he's going to be snowed under. That time, initially, the push by the defense is brought in by Devin Enzapumi, a defensive lineman who was there kind of blowing that play up, and then Big Wes is going to be dropped for a yard loss.
Don't be afraid to go back to the run here. I think New Haven, after the first time bringing Wes Hills down for a loss, may now be thinking they're going to throw the ball. I would not be afraid to get this back into number four's hands, pick up a few yards. I think we're going to see a Rock offense go to the air, but it's been a very reliable offense so far, giving it to Wes Hills.
Tight end Cirillo goes in motion. It was a loss of two, actually, second and 12. Now the pocket breaks down, and off goes Roland Rivers, and he'll get what he can, and he gets across the 50, marches it into New Haven territory to the 49-yard line. He'll pick up five as the pocket was breaking down quickly, and off goes number 14 on the run.
Smart play by Roland Rivers. Okay, pocket collapsing, pressure coming from behind, nothing open downfield. I'll tuck it and run. Picks up a few yards, making this a third down and manageable. That's a smart move by Rivers.
So after the loss of two, he gains five, makes it a third and seven. 14-7 the lead here. The Rock in control at the 6:50 mark of the second quarter, but coming off a New Haven touchdown, The Rock on the move now on a third down play. Third and seven. Here's the snap to Rivers. Looks downfield, looks to throw. He wants Henry Litwin, who comes back for it. Grabs it. He's got the first down as he goes out of bounds at the 39-yard line. And finally, good to see number 11 get that ball back into his hands from RR3.
Yeah, he's been a reliable set of hands for Roland Rivers. Henry Litwin working one-on-one against the cornerback, I believe, on the coverage there. Was Clements, and he had enough room where it was just a really hard dig route about 10 yards down the field, and then turned back to Rivers to get the ball, pulled it in, and picked up the first down.
A 10-yard grab, as you referred. Here's a fake screen for Rivers as he pumps. Now he's going to run downfield, and it's Litwin wide open at the 10. He avoids a tackle and is brought down. No, he stays on his feet. Somehow looked like he was going to fall at the 5, was able to keep his balance and go into the end zone. It's a 39-yard touchdown strike. Roland Rivers, he pumped the screen to Jermaine Wynn, and the pocket started to break down. Looked like he was going to scramble and run, and then just waved Henry Litwin downfield and hits him for the touchdown strike.
Yeah, play not designed to go to Henry Litwin whatsoever. Like you mentioned, they wanted a pump screen. It was basically a pump and go. They were looking for Austin Scott or Jermaine Wynn down the field. Give credit to New Haven. They had that covered. Pocket collapses. So Rivers, as you mentioned, looked like he was going to run the ball. Litwin going behind the coverage. Rivers keeping his eyes open down the field. Was able to find number 11 for a touchdown.
And the extra point try is up, and it is good. The Rock
clanged off the scoreboard.
Yeah, he hits it right into the scoreboard, which is right behind the goalpost. And The Rock has answered with a drive of their own. 39-yard touchdown strike. Roland Rivers the third to Henry Litwin. And it's his second touchdown pass of the day. The Rock is up 21-7. We're back with the kickoff in 30 seconds. It's Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
You knew it was coming. You knew the shorter daylight hours, the cold winds are blowing. You knew it was coming. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, Corks Lane, just off of Christ Road. Butler has partnered up with Diamond Crystal to bring you the very best anti-icers and de-icers. No worries about pets if you use the green melt. Keeps those paws safe and temps down to 10 below. The new concrete? Then you'll want the flash melt. The Jiffy Melt Mix is a mixture of the green melt and rock salt. Diamond Crystal Salts and Negley's, the dynamic duo. Call Negley's now, 724-282-6160. Reserve your salts now.
Hi, this is Tavares Sample, safety, Slippery Rock University, and you're tuned in 97.7 for Rock Football.
Well, the Rock is leading here in this NCAA Division II Round 2 playoff game, 21-7 now. Roland Rivers III, he struggled the last couple of weeks. We were concerned. Would he respond today? So far, so good for Roland, who has thrown two touchdown passes so far today. The latest to Henry Litwin, who has two catches for 49 yards. And right now, Roland Rivers, 8 of 12 today, 129 yards and two touchdowns. Here's the boot. Jake Chaplis sends this one back deep to number 84. Paul Cooper, who takes it at his 5, brings it across the 10, 15, 20, and gets into the pile and is brought down at the 26-yard line. In on the tackle for the Rock was Chakar Berry. And also looked like some help there from Isaiah Manning. So the Chargers will start out first and 10 in their own territory at the 5:57 mark of this second quarter and trailing 21-7.
Well, they had a very dynamic offense last drive. We'll continue to see if that happens. It was really all done through the pass game. Again, with a 14-point deficit back in play for New Haven, they're going to be relying on A.G. Patterson. He's been the guy that put them in this position all season long, most valuable player in the NE10. He's a playmaker, and I think this is if they're going to win this football game today, it's going to be because of him.
McCarthy in the backfield. Patterson's going to throw it. He pulls it in to Juwan Williams, their big receiver, and he's got a first down grab on first down, and he gets the ball out to the 45-yard line. That'll be a gain of 19.
One-on-one coverage, Jerron Williams working against Kadir Roberts for Slippery Rock, and Roberts just giving him a little bit of room to run, and you can't do that with Juwan Williams. He'll be able to he finds the little areas in the field, whether that means a quicker cut where he's about a yard or two in front of you or a yard or two behind you. He knows the football field, knows how to get open, and we just saw that right there.
Well, he's a 1,000-yard receiver this year with 11 touchdowns. He's their man. Number 3, Juwan Williams, the grad student. He's got, coming into this game, had 59 catches for 1,035 yards and 11 TDs. He averages just shy of 100 yards per game. And we've got a penalty here on
false
the Chargers. They've called a false start as we were chatting. So he picked up 19, but now you're going to move him back to the 40 here. After they march off the 5 yards. And now they'll have sidecar right for Patterson. That's, again, McCarthy. And Patterson looks to throw. Throws downfield. Has a man. It's caught by Cooper, who catches it and falls to the ground, but not before he got the first down across the 45 to the 44-yard line.
Ran a crossing pattern underneath, but then that just allowed one-on-one coverage over the top. And so you had A.G. Patterson finding Paul Cooper. A.G. Patterson making some tremendous throws today. Strong arm, very accurate. That's stuff you can't teach.
Well, that's why he's the MVP of this Northeast 10 Conference. The gain of 16, it's first and 10, New Haven into Rock territory. Play action fake, Patterson throwing down the sideline, one-on-one coverage, it's caught, here comes a flag. K.D. Roberts was on the coverage, and there was a little push-off happening there, and it's Juwan Williams who pulls it in. Let's see who they call this on, if it's offensive or defensive. I imagine it's defensive, but it's going to give the Chargers first and 10 at the 12-yard line. If it stands, let's see what the call is. And it's going to be against the Rock. Number 5, K.D. Roberts, called on the flag, so they'll decline that, and they'll go for the big strike. First and 10, New Haven Chargers at the 12-yard line.
Juwan Williams has been known for the big play so far this year. I mean, again, 10 out of his 11 touchdowns have come for 25 yards or more. And so they had one-on-one coverage over the top. Juwan Williams working his way behind K.D. Roberts. And A.G. Patterson was able to make a nice throw.
It was a 22-yard grab. And now here's McCarthy, who's going to go right up the gut. Number 5 with the handoff from Patterson. And he pushes the ball inside the 10 down to the 7. That'll be a gain of 5 for number 5 out of the backfield.
Well, the Rock defense, we've seen them be pretty stingent at the goal line. Will they be able to come up with a big stop here? I mean, obviously, we saw A.J. Patterson go up the middle the last time they were down here. Second down and five. They can still pick up the first down, I guess, because the ball's at the 7-yard line.
I said 22. It was 32 yards, I'm sorry. But second and five now. And it's a handoff, and McCarthy this time runs into the awaiting arms of Tim Suave. Also on the assist there, Chad Kuhn and others, and he's going to be stoned for no gain.
So now, again, you have to be keeping in the back of your mind if you're Dom Rosano. They did spread the field out the last time and then just stick with A.G. Patterson up the middle. So I'm interested to see what his scheme is defensively here on a third down and five right at the goal line. It looks like, yeah, New Haven's going to keep a running back in the backfield this time around and send three wide receivers just to the top of the field.
Jawan Williams already with four catches for 83 yards today. It's third and five. Here's Patterson. He's looking for the end zone. Now he's going to be hit, and he's going to be sacked. No, he spins out of the grasp of Tim Suave, throws it into the end zone. Incomplete. Boy, the strength that Patterson showed right there as he was in the grasp of Tim Suave and was able to work free.
I tell you what, that should have been a touchdown. Brett Huber let that thing go right through his hands. A.G. Patterson extending the play. The first option wasn't there. Give credit to Brad Zaffram. They wanted him versus McCarthy one-on-one in the slot. That wasn't there. Patterson keeping the play alive.
So it's an incompletion. It'll be fourth and five. And in motion goes the tight end. And a hard count by Patterson trying to get the Rock to show and maybe jump, but they don't.
He's going to take a timeout.
And now they're going to take a timeout as Chris Pincitz goes down to the official, calls the timeout at the 3:11 mark of the second quarter. So fourth and five here. They went for it earlier in the game on their opening drive and turned it over on downs. And the Rock responded with a 10-play drive to make it 7-0. We're at 21-7 here, and a big, big decision for the Chargers at fourth and five.
I wonder what you do here. You got 3 points, which makes this an 11-point game if you wanted to go that route. But when you're really looking at how this Slippery Rock offense is moving the ball, Chris Pennance is probably thinking, hey, we're going to need to get touchdowns if we want to win this football game. And if he decides to go for it, that would be his logic, I'm assuming, that, hey, the only way we're going to win this is if we find the end zone as opposed to settling for field goals.
Michael Stellini is 7-7 this year on field goals, but he's not hit anything long. Of course, this would be a chip shot at this point. But they're going to go for it. Or wait, nope, they're going to bring out the kicking team. And it is going to be Stellini coming out. And this will be a 24-yard attempt from the near hash as they try to cut into the Rock lead. Here's the snap. It's good. The kick is up, and it's right through the upright and good. A 24-yard field goal by Michael Stellini, and it cuts the Rock lead to 21-10 at the 3:09 mark of the second quarter. And we'll be back with the kickoff in a moment. Rock football on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Hop on over to Missing Links Brewery tonight after the Spirit of Christmas Parade for some holiday cheer, great beer, and live acoustic music with the Noble Hops. Happy holidays from the Noble Hops Band.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station, 97.7.
Well, if you wanted offense, you've certainly found the right place to be today as we bring you Rock football on the Rock Station, 97.7, 977rocks.com, and at rockathletics.com. And it's Michael Stellini kicking a 24-yard field goal. The Rock now leading 21-10 at the 3:09 mark of the second quarter here, and the Rock going to get the ball back. So only one time has a team not scored here today in this opening half. And back deep for the Rock is going to be Jermaine Wynn, and he's going to be back there this time. I believe that they put Eric Glover-Williams back. Nope, that's Mark Carter. Mark Carter back deep. And the rotation, of course, on punts. You see the trio of Wynn, Carter, and Eric Glover-Williams. So they'll be standing at their goal line awaiting the boot here. Coming up at halftime, we're going to cover the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference honorees this year for the Slippery Rock University football team. We'll tell you about their season, all 10. Coming up at halftime, here's the boot. It's going to go to Carter at his 2. He's across the 5. Waits for blocking to set up, and he's across the 15, 20. Cuts it upfield, 30. Cuts it up the field again, 40. He's in midfield and cuts it up, 50. Now into New Haven territory. Across the 45, 35. About the 37-yard line, actually, across the 40 inside, and they'll spot it at the 38, actually. Great return by Mark Carter. He took that inside his 5 and brought it into Charger territory.
Yeah, Mark Carter, the true freshman. We heard Sean Lutz talking about him before the season, like, hey, we got this really fast kid on the team. It's Mark Carter. And when they utilize him on special teams for returns like that, you can see why. I mean, just a very good athlete, his ability to cut up the field, read the holes very well. I mean, it is a great job on the return, and obviously he's got the speed to boot. So Mark Carter with a really nice dynamic play with now less than 3 minutes to go in this first half sets up the Rock for a huge play.
A little trickeration here as they fake the end around, they fake the pitch, and now they have to scramble. Roland Rivers being chased out of the pocket by Kaleem Cisse, and he gains some yardage, bizarre as that is to say, but is there a flag? No, we've just got some talking going on in the backfield. That was a 60-yard return by Mark Carter, by the way, and it set the Rock up, and they did a couple of fakes there. It looked like they were going to try to set up a little deep pass by Roland Rivers, and he had to scramble out and get what he could, and he actually picked up pretty positive yardage out to the 31-yard line, so give him 7.
Yeah, which is remarkable. That should have been a loss of about 10. His ability to escape the pressure and run it to the outside was amazing.
Here's Wes Hills and a great read by linebacker Kieran Ryan. He knew that ball was going to 4. He was able to blitz into the backfield and bring him down for a loss. Back to the 32. It'll be a loss of 1.
And he came from the far side of the field on that one, which shows how good of an athlete Ryan is. He's had some nice plays today defensively. Not the biggest guy on the field, 5'10", 200, but a good athlete, ability, and football IQ, which is very high to go out and make plays like that.
The Rock leads 21-10, under 2 minutes in the second quarter now. In motion comes Dakota Clanigan, and it'll be a handoff to Big Wes. He's got the first down. He's rumbling down the sideline. He's going to break it almost for a touchdown. He gets shoved out of bounds at about the 5-yard line. Great work downfield by a defensive back. Or actually, maybe it was that Kevin Robinson, a linebacker, who got downfield. Shoved him out of bounds, but Big Wes Hills takes it inside the 10 to the 9-yard line.
He had room to run. Give credit to the Slippery Rock offensive line for clearing a hole. And if you give Wes Hills just even a little bit of daylight, he's going to take advantage of it. He's a downhill runner. You can see him run with explosiveness, identifies the gaps where he wants to go, and he was just able to go right through that hole and then take the speed to the sideline, nearly found pay dirt, as you mentioned, but pushed out of bounds. Heck of a run by number 4.
Longest run of the day for Wes Hills, 23 yards. He's got 90 yards on the day. Now it's a handoff, and it's going to be Wes Hills in for the score from 9 yards out. Wes Hills takes it in for their Slippery Rock touchdown, and that extends their lead now to 27-10 at the 92nd mark here of this opening half.
I love putting Wes Hills in the pistol position because that gives him the ability to get a few steps in before you hand the ball off. We've seen him be a dynamic runner in that sidecar spot, but when you get number 4 going before he's able to touch the ball, that makes him so much tougher to bring down. And so whenever you're utilizing sets like that, that's basically the spread option of power eye formation. Put Wes Hills back there and just explode through the middle.
4 plays, 38 yards, 9-yard touchdown for Wes Hills, and the extra point is good. That'll make it a 28-10 lead with, well, a minute 35 to go here in this opening half.
There's plenty of time for New Haven.
Yeah,
the way
really
this
is.
Game's going.
So we'll have the kickoff coming back here in a moment. You're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on The Rock Station 97.7.
Our listeners have spoken, and the results are in. Butler's best businesses have been determined. Congratulations to our winners, and to all the local businesses who were nominated. And thanks to everyone who voted in our first ever Butler's Best ballot. Visit butlerradio.com to see a complete list of Butler's Best.
I'm Kyle Hall, also known as OG, playing DB for Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football. Go Rock.
I'm Jake Chapla, kicker here at Slippery Rock, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
Oh, a 4-play drive, and the Rock has hit pay dirt again. They've touched the ball 4 times today and scored on all four and lead 28-10 here. 95 seconds to go to halftime. Slippery Rock University football. I'm Bob Cupp along with Tyler Friel with you here today from West Haven, Connecticut. And we thank John Holtz, Director of Athletic Communications, keeping us statistically up to date and actually driving the ride to get us out here today for this NCAA playoff game. The Rock off to a good start, but we've seen this happen before between these two teams. These two teams have too much firepower to step away from the radio, so stay with us. Here's the kickoff now from Jake Chaplin, whom you just heard on our liner. Paul Cooper takes the ball at around the 7 and brings it out across the 20 to the 22-yard line. That's where A.G. Patterson and his Chargers offense will start out first and 10. They'll have 90 seconds to play with here and try to cut into the Rock lead that is now up to 18.
I want to go back to the drive before that because the Slippery Rock's defense stopping New Haven at their at the Rock's 7-yard line, that's huge. I mean, you're looking at a touchdown to field goal, so this game could be 28-14. Instead, it's 28-10. That was a big stop by the Rock defense.
Here's Patterson. He's going to go right to the shotgun and work with four receivers. He's got a sidecar in the backfield with him. That's McCarthy. He drops back. He wants to throw long, and he throws it way over the head of the intended receiver, A.J. Green. Good coverage that time downfield by K.D. Roberts, who was the man-on-man response for the Rock. Also, you have to say, what a return that set that
drive up.
Mark Carter bringing that kickoff back 60 yards and setting the table for Roland Rivers III and his offense.
Yeah, dynamic, big-time special teams play. We talked about those types of splash plays creating the difference, and that allowed a short field for the Slippery Rock offense to find the end zone.
Second and 10 now. Here's A.G. Patterson. He's looking near side this time, throws it. Man comes back, and it goes in and out of the hands of Juwan Williams. Eric Glover Williams was on the coverage, and they've been doing that a lot where they just do a stop route and come back toward the ball, but this time it's incomplete. It's third and 10.
And again, when you're running this press coverage one-on-one, New Haven wants to challenge these cornerbacks to go make a play. We've seen them target and go against K.D. Roberts a number of times today. The previous play, he was able to stay with A.J. Green. We'll see if they go back to that because third and 10, minute 18, Sean Lutz has three timeouts in his pocket. They get a stop here. They may be able to try to go for the end zone after this.
By the way, the other game we're keeping an eye on, Hillsdale has taken a 14-10 lead in the fourth quarter of that other NCAA Super Region 1 playoff game. Here's a pass now into the inside, and it's attempted to go to Paul Cooper, and he just let that go right through his hands. Dalton Holt on the coverage downfield, along with Tristan McDonald, and it's a quick three and out. And those were just that blatantly dropped, and it would have been a first down play.
Yeah, decent coverage by Tristan McDonald on that. He was one-on-one. Again, these are the matchups that New Haven wants to create. Slot wide receivers against linebackers. See if they can beat them with their athleticism. McDonald did a nice job staying with this guy. Should Cooper have brought it down? Absolutely. But I think Tristan McDonald being there, helping make that play, was able to prevent New Haven from picking up the first down.
And the Rock going to have some time on the clock here. It's going to be Jermaine Wynn standing at his own 38. The punt is from Francis Palmer. And he stands at about his 7-yard line.
Delay game.
And they're going to take a delay here? Yeah, they are going to take a delay. So that's going to back them up even further. And the Rock really going to have the table setting. And you can see Jermaine Wynn kind of looking over to his sideline, shaking his head, going, I don't think they wanted to do that.
Yeah, that's on the head coach. You got to be able to go in there, call timeout. You got to keep your eyes on the play clock. Unless he wanted to do that, I can't
don't know
why he would have.
Yeah. Especially with the dynamic return game the Rock has. So let's see what happens. Is that's going to put Palmer now at his 3-yard line to kick the ball, and it's going to come right at Jermaine Wynn. It's a good kick, though. Sends him back to the 40. Now he awaits for a little blocking, and here he goes. He's across the 50, 45, 40 to the sideline and steps out. Here comes a flag from the near side, and he's still alive, and now he's running, and he's going to be across the 35, down to the 30. The play happened clear up at the top side on the Rock sideline. We've got a flag coming in on the New Haven sideline.
Must have been a block in the back, I would imagine. Jermaine Wynn, though, heck of an effort to go to the sideline, nearly stop on a dime, and then rotate back up the field to pick up a gain of 15. I missed the penalty, but you're right. I mean, it was on the very...
How do you call it on the near side? That's my point. You see that happen too many times on kickoffs. And, yes, guys block in the back, and it shouldn't happen. Oh, it was a sideline warning.
Yeah.
So it's not going to... All right. Well, okay. It's a sideline warning
on
New Haven.
Great call.
I'll bring it all back. It's just you get in the habit of seeing a flag come to every time on a kick, and that's one of the most dynamic parts of the game that gets just kind of thrown away a lot of times.
Do you have stats? Slippery Rock's only had one or two penalties against them, right?
Yeah, so far so good.
It's really been the problem for them all season long, but they've really cleaned things up here so far in the first half. They've got one penalty against them.
It was so far today.
The cut block against Henry Litwin.
So first and 10, the Rock starting out at the 29, and Roland Rivers wanted the end zone, and now he's going to have to pull it down, and here comes a flag. He throws it downfield, and that was not a wise decision as he tried to thread it to Henry Litwin when he was on the run, but there's probably going to be a hold here as that thing just did not develop properly.
When you're in the two-minute drill, it looks like they're going to get a hold against the Rock here. Yeah. So New Haven will take this penalty.
So we were just talking about how impressed we were with the Rock not being penalized. And what
the announcer jinx.
blame it on us.
When you're in the two-minute offense, Roland Rivers, okay, this is how I perceive it. I understand him wanting to extend the play, and they've got some interesting and really advantageous looks whenever he does that. However, two-minute drill, it's got to be look one, look two, look three, either tuck it and go or get rid of it. Trying to extend the play on a two-minute drill isn't the best idea.
Ball back to the 39 as a result of the penalty. Here's Rivers. He's going to step out of the pressure, and he's going to walk right into the awaiting arms of, who is that? Number 95. Finn Dean Gabisi, a defensive lineman, and no timeout being called
here
by the Rock. They're letting the clock wind and let a lot of time go off the clock. I'm not sure why, but now it's third down and or second down and long, and here's the throw to the outside, and Henry Litwin avoids going out of bounds, gets a couple more yards, but then steps out, stops the clock at 20 seconds remaining. But, boy, you let about 15 seconds just roll off the clock. So Roland Rivers got a yard on that carry after the incompletion but then penalty. And then that time, Henry Litwin picks up, looks like 4 yards on that, and it'll make it third and long. 20 seconds remaining, clock stopped. Ball on the 26-yard line of New Haven. Here's Rivers. He wants that end zone again. Now he's going to throw it and dump it down, and it is Henry Litwin coming back for it. He's got a first down, and he gets out of bounds with 10 seconds remaining.
So I think you'll get about one shot at the end zone if you want to do it here. Again, that 15 seconds that Lutz elapsed, not utilizing that timeout. Not sure why.
Both coaches here really putting themselves into some trouble in this last 90 seconds of the first half. And now we've got the timeout on the field taken here. And Coach Lutz wants to he wants to talk with the referee. I think he's wanting to know.
I'm not quite sure what he wants to know. But so you got 10 seconds left on the clock, and the ball at the 13-yard line. I think you got to try to take a shot at the end zone here. Again, you got two timeouts left. Jake Chapla, obviously, has the ability to make this kick. You're looking about a, what, let's say 30-yarder. So he's got the ability to make this kick, but I like to take a shot at the end zone.
Well, I think Coach Lutz wants more time on the clock.
About 2 seconds. I could see that.
But he's not going to get it. They're going to keep the clock at 10 seconds. So it was a first down grab by Henry Litwin, by the way. And the ball is down to the 13-yard line. And so the Rock will have a first and 10 at the 13. But you only have 10 seconds left on the clock. Easily could be about 20 to 25.
Yep.
But we've let a lot of time run off. So here's Roland Rivers now. Sidecar is West Hills. Play action fake. Throws to the end zone, has a man breaking, it's caught. It's Mike Marhat in for the touchdown from 13 yards out. That play developed perfectly, and Roland Rivers III threw it perfectly right to number 13.
Yeah, they went trips to the top of the field, and I was wondering if they were going to try to do some crossing patterns. That wasn't the case, so it was Mike Marhat versus Kieran Ryan one-on-one. He was able to make a nice instep move, and basically a jab step in, cut back out, got behind the defender, and you mentioned what a brilliant throw by Roland Rivers hitting Mike Marhat right in stride. That's a big play right before halftime, and you get the ball to begin the second half.
Yeah, you deferred, so it is now 34-10. Here's Mike Marhat with the hold for Jake Chapla. He kicks it through, and it's good. And it's 35-10. 6 seconds remain on the clock in this opening half, and the Rock is putting on an offensive clinic right now.
Hey, they score every time they touch the ball, it seems like. So Roland Rivers, you mentioned it earlier in the broadcast. What type of Roland Rivers were we going to get today? Were we going to get early season Rivers, or were we going to see what Rivers has done the past few games? He's come out. He's been lights out. The throws he's making very good decisions. He's just in pure command of this offense. This is a kid playing with confidence and playing with some swagger as well.
So the Rock able to do something with that ball after New Haven was forced to punt. Jermaine Wynn, by the way, with a 32-yard return. So we talked about how important special teams would be today. It's already playing into it. It set that particular short field up for the Rock. They take advantage of it. Four plays, 29 yards in just 51 seconds. So a little bit of wasteful clock management, but it didn't hurt the Rock, and they are up 35-10 now. And how about Roland Rivers? You mentioned it. He is 11 of 15 today for 167 yards and three touchdowns. He's been kept off the carpet so far today and does not have an INT. So 6 seconds remain. The Rock going to boot it here, and I'm sure this will be a squibber.
New Haven's been dialing up some blitz packages as well, so they're trying to be aggressive with what they're doing, and the Rock offensive line has been picking it up along with Wes Hills.
Here's the boot from Jake Chappell. Let's see what he does. Yeah, he's going to squib it downfield. It's going to be taken up by a tight end at the 26 and come up into the pile. Clock is going to spin down to nothing as he's tackled at the 35-yard line, and that will be the half. The Rock, it's been a good half here in West Haven, Connecticut, where the Rock has taken a 35-10 lead over New Haven in this NCAA playoff game. So we will take a break, come back and recap the action in the first half, and then talk to you about the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference all team honorees for Slippery Rock University in halftime. But first, this time out, Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.